Well, good morning. Good morning and welcome to Bowmansville. It's good to see each one of you here today as we gather in the house of the Lord to worship Him. A special welcome to each one of you, an extra special welcome to any guests who are worshiping with us today and those joining us via live stream this morning. So I hope that you weren't too disturbed this morning when you walked in the door and you weren't handed a bulletin. I know it's different, but a copier is on vacation, and so... We won't have any bulletins for you to actually physically hold today. The bulletins was scrolling on the screen prior to the service. It will be also scrolling on the screen after the service. So if you want to see what's in the bulletin, you can watch that or go online. It's posted there as well. So just a word of why you didn't receive a bulletin this morning. So receive this call to worship today. The world is filled with the glory of God, and we say, thank you, God. Our tables are overflowing with food, and we say, thank you, God. This morning, we offer our thanksgiving and gratitude to the giver of all good and perfect gifts, who is Almighty God. Great is the Lord and worthy of our praise. So would you please join the worship team this morning in singing praises to our God.
I invite you to stand if you're able this morning as we worship.
Mm-hmm.
ushers come forward at this time as we take this morning's offering, and there's also the Michael Wins count for the kids.
Join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the tithes and offerings that have been brought to you this morning, Lord. We thank you for the Elevate Youth Center, which meets in the basement here at this church, Lord, and the children who come and spend time here, Lord, and the leaders who take time out of their busy schedule, Lord, to facilitate a time for them to spend in this church, Lord, and that they would be able to minister to them and show them God's love in a way that they may not have seen before, Lord. We ask that you would continue to grow the Elevate Youth Center and bless it, Lord, and that it would grow in this community, Lord, into something that is known throughout Bowmansville and the surrounding areas, Lord. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Thank you. Well, good morning. I just want to let you know real quick, especially since we don't have bulletins and nothing was set up here. This is the last Sunday of the month. Usually, we would have the Holy Spirit Fellowship evening. But with Thanksgiving and hunting and everything else, I decided to just cancel that tonight as there's a lot of other things going on. So we will have it next month, but tonight it is canceled. So thank you.
So it's time for the children's story, so I invite any children to come forward. Excuse me. Good morning. It's good to see you here today. So what did you celebrate on Thursday?
Thanksgiving.
Did you have a big dinner? Eat lots of food? Lots of turkey, mashed potatoes. I'm getting hungry. So this morning I want to talk to you about God. Okay? So someone would ask you a question like, what is God like? Or how would you describe God? What would you say? What's God like?
God is great.
God is great. Yeah, okay. What's that?
God's strong.
Strong? Yep.
God can do anything.
He can do anything. Absolutely. So, I thought maybe one of you would say God is love. So, there's all kinds of other ways that we could describe God, right? But what I want you to think about this morning is that part of who God is God is faithful. Okay? So when you hear the word faithful, what do you think about? If God is faithful, how is God faithful? Wow, the wheels are turning. Okay.
Love.
It's love, okay. His love never ends. He's always faithful, right? Yep.
Confident.
You were looking for the word confident. Yep. Okay. Good. So what I'm going to say, the way to describe faithfulness is that God is who he says he is, and God will do, always does what he says he will do, right? So we can trust him, put our faith in him, because he says who he says he is is exactly who he is, and if he says he's going to do something, he will do exactly that. Yes, he's coming back, that's right. He said he's coming back so we can believe that he will be faithful and Jesus will return one day. Absolutely. So Deuteronomy 7:9a says, know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God. So you can always believe and trust God is who he says he is and will do what he says he will do. So I'm going to have a prayer for you guys, and then you can grab a snack. You can probably grab two or three snacks this morning. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for these children. I ask you would bless them today. And I pray that as they think about your great faithfulness through all the generations, that they would remember that and they would place their faith and trust in you as well. So thank you and praise you for these children. Bless them today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, greetings in the name of Jesus, and again, welcome to Bowmansville. It's good to see each one of you here today. I realize there's many hunters out there in the woods chasing that big buck this weekend and into next week, so that may be where a lot of people are today. But I trust that you've had a wonderful Thanksgiving with your family and friends, and to spend some time reflecting on God's many blessings that He showers down so abundantly upon us. So this morning I would like to take some time to reflect on God's amazing faithfulness. Because perhaps God's faithfulness is something that we can very easily take for granted. So I believe it is good to stop and reflect on God's faithfulness to each one of us through the many seasons of our lives. So God's Word has much to say about His faithfulness. Here are just a few to get us thinking about some truths in God's Word. In Exodus 33, Moses said to God, "Show me your glory." And God replies, "You cannot see my face, but I will put you in a cleft on the rock and cover my hand until I pass by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back." And then in Exodus 34, verse 6, it says, "And he, God, passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, 'The Lord, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness.'" Then in Deuteronomy 7:9a, "You know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God." 1 Thessalonians 5:24, "The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it." Speaking about God doing his transforming work in our lives and in our hearts. And Hebrews 10:23, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." So notice some of the phrases in these verses that we just looked at. Abounding in love and faithfulness. He is the faithful God. The one who calls you is faithful. He who promised is faithful. And there's many other verses that we could look at and use to identify this biblical truth. The point is that God is faithful. The God that we are here to worship today is faithful. He is who he says he is. He will do exactly what he says he will do. God can always be trusted. Now that sounds like the right thing for a pastor to say, right? But is it really true? In a world where every day seems to bring new revelations of chaos and moral confusion, we need to ask ourselves if we really trust God. Because I believe it's one thing to say, "Yes, I trust in the Lord." When the sun is shining brightly, all the bills are paid, and you got a nice nest egg stashed away so that I can kick back and enjoy the fruits of my hard work. But it's entirely different story when the dark clouds begin to settle around us after receiving a diagnosis of cancer, when life doesn't quite go the way I had planned, like having a wayward child maybe who I've prayed and I've prayed and I've prayed and I've prayed and I've prayed for, and yet God doesn't seem to hear or answer my prayer. And I think there's many other situations that I'm sure you can think of that can very easily distract us in this life. Add to that all the uncertainty of life. Can I still honestly say I trust God because His Word tells me He is faithful? You probably heard me say this before, but I'm going to say it again, because as I look around the world today, I believe it is increasingly becoming reality. I believe there's a day that is rapidly approaching here in the United States of America where born again, Bible-believing followers of Jesus Christ will be challenged by God to put our complete faith and trust in Him. And it won't be about lip service or saying, I trust God. The situations that we will face will require us to totally trust Him. So in this world of constant change, God is the only constant. The scriptures tell us in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Just like Moses declared, He is the faithful God. God never changes, and He is always faithful. So ponder this. How many people do you know who do exactly what they say? But before you answer that, let me rephrase the question. How many people do you know who do exactly what they say every single time? Let me rephrase it again. How many people do you know who do exactly what they say every single time and do it with such thoroughness and perfection that you never need to worry about anything that they say or do? Let me rephrase it one more time. How many people do you know who, no matter what the circumstances or no matter how they feel, will always do exactly what they say every single time and do it with such thoroughness and perfection that you never need to worry about anything that they say or do, because you know that if they say it, they will definitely do it without fail, without change, and without excuse? Now, we probably all know some people that we would say are very reliable or very dependable. But in the end, the question is not about how reliable or dependable people are. In fact, it's not about people at all, because no one person on this earth could meet all the qualifications of that last question that I ask. God can, God will, and God does meet all the qualifications of that last question, because God alone is 100% faithful 100% of the time. Now that may sound like a bold statement, but I believe it's true. We live in a world of broken and unkept promises. Politicians and many other persons make promises that they never, ever intend to keep. I'm sure you can think of many examples of unkept promises in everyday life. So if you're looking for someone who's a promise keeper, look no further than Almighty God, creator and sustainer of life, the author of eternal life. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? No. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God who has called you into fellowship with Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. So I stand here this morning and tell you that God's faithfulness is not some minor or secondary part of his character. To proclaim that God is faithful goes to the very core of who God really is. He keeps his word, because if he didn't, he wouldn't be God. If God were not faithful, we could not be saved, would have no sure and confident hope, and would face physical death, wondering if God will keep his promise of being our shepherd as we journey through the valley of the shadow of death. But the truth is that God is faithful. So I'd like to look at three specific things that are connected to God's faithfulness. First of all, every word he says is true. The Bible contains several words for truth. One of the most important is the Hebrew word emet, which means stability, firmness, or certainty. We get the English word amen from the Hebrew emet. Every time we say amen, we're really saying it is certain, or yes, it is absolutely true. So to say that God is true is to say that God is faithful. God's faithfulness means that he is the truth and everything that he says and does is certain. God says what he means and he means what he says 100% of the time. He does not fail, he does not forget, he does not falter, he does not vacillate. If he says it, he means it, and you can live your life based on his word. God says amen over every word that he speaks because he is trustworthy and faithful. Number two, every promise will be kept. Because God is faithful, he keeps every promise he makes. God's promises can be traced through the entire Bible. So I recommend reading your Bible and underlying those promises that you find and ask a few questions as you read. When did God make the promise? To whom was the promise given? How was it fulfilled? And how does it apply to me today? There are many, many promises in the scriptures that are relevant to our lives today, including salvation and the forgiveness of sin, prayer, marriage, children, disappointment, insecurity, a whole host of issues. In 2 Corinthians 1:20, Paul says, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God." All the promises of what the Messiah would be like have been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Jesus was completely faithful in his ministry. He never sinned. He fulfilled his purpose and died for us. And Jesus is now faithfully interceding for us at the right hand of God the Father. Another powerful example of every promise being kept is in Joshua chapter 21, verses 43 to 45, which says, "So the Lord gave Israel all the land he had sworn to give their forefathers, and they took possession of it and settled there. The Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their forefathers. Not one of their enemies withstood them. The Lord handed all their enemies over to them." And listen to this. "Not one of all the Lord's good promises to Israel, the house of Israel, failed. Every one was fulfilled." Now, just a note, some of those promises took many years to come true. So we need to be careful that we allow God to fulfill his promises to us on his timetable and not ours. And third, every trial has a purpose. If we believe every trial has a purpose, it can help us as we journey through this thing called life and through the many seasons of life. One lie that I think we are prone to believe is, as we look around, we can say, no one else has the difficulties in their life like I do. Well, I suggest to you this morning that we don't know the rest of the story in other people's lives. So consider these four truths from Scripture. God knows what I'm going through. Job 23:10 says, He knows the way that I take. When He has tested me, I will come forth as gold. Two, God uses my trials to help me grow. Romans 5:3-4, we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. Three, God calls me to rejoice in my pain. James 1:2-4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So I suggest to you this morning that if you rejoice in your pain, you've either lost your mind and you're crazy, or you know something. I suggest that you know something. God doesn't waste pain in our lives. Number four, God invites me to submit to my faithful Creator. 1 Peter 4:19, so then those who suffer according to God's will shall commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. There was a young boy who was flying a kite really high in the sky, and it drifted into a low-hanging cloud bank, and it disappeared. So this gentleman was passing by and asked the young boy what he was doing. His reply was, I'm flying my kite. The man looked up and, only seeing the cloud bank, said, I don't see a kite. How do you know there's a kite on the other end of the string? I don't see it either, replied the boy, but I know it's up there because every once in a while there's a tug on the end of my string. Many Christians feel that God is disappointed or disappeared just when they need Him the most. So take heart, loved child of the King. Just because you cannot see Him, just because you cannot feel His presence at the moment, doesn't mean that He's not there. Keep holding on to the Lord. He is faithful even when you cannot feel His presence. Hang on, and sooner or later you will feel that tug on the line that lets you know He's still there. So I ask each one of you here this morning to ponder this question. How has God been faithful to you in your life? I realize that we're all at various stages in life, but I also believe that we have much to be thankful for as we think about God's faithfulness to us through our varied life experiences. So just a few quick observations of God's faithfulness to me in my life. I grew up on a farm just north of Bowmansville. It's not there anymore. It was torn down, and there's now housing development there. But as I was growing up, I never realized how little we had. But I never went to bed hungry. I was raised by wonderful parents that I knew loved me and cared deeply about me. So one of the things that happened during my childhood was that my sister got very, very sick. I didn't realize the seriousness of her sickness, but she was diagnosed with cancer. And the doctors that look at her medical records today say that she's a walking miracle. So my mom and dad spent many hours at the Reading Hospital where my sister was receiving treatment. And my mother told me this later on in life, as she was at Fairmount. I wished it's something I would have known a long time ago. But she told me that one time on the way home from the Reading Hospital visiting my sister, as they were driving home, my mother and dad, my mom saw this bright light. And she heard an audible voice that said she's going to be okay. Now, my dad, who was sitting right beside her on the front seat of the car, she said to him, "Did you see that? Did you hear that?" He said he hadn't seen or heard anything. So I believe that God showed my mother a vision. Everything was going to be okay. And it turned out to be that way. So I was blessed with a wonderful wife and three wonderful children. But perhaps, not perhaps, it was the most impactful event was the unexpected death of my father in 1980, which completely changed the trajectory of my life. God was faithful in what Psalm 68:5 says, because it became reality to me. God says, "I will be a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling." So God provided in my life exactly what I needed in terms of a father figure in my life at just the right time. So when my father passed away, I vowed to do whatever God would ask me to do. Little did I know what that meant. As God called me to serve as youth pastor in 1994, then as associate pastor in 2001, then as lead pastor here at Bowmansville in January of 2008, I stepped into those roles scared, out of my mind. But Isaiah 41 verse 10 says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." So through all those years, God has faithfully held up his end of that promise. It's when I took my eyes off of him that I felt overwhelmed. I witnessed 9/11 happening and the United States of America becoming more united than I ever remember in my life. And then just a few short years, I witnessed the United States become more divided than I ever remember as the pandemic brought not only political division, but division in churches, division in families. So reflecting back through the years, God has been faithful beyond my wildest expectations or imagination. So I invite the worship team to come forward at this time. We're going to sing the closing song, The Goodness of God. As I was preparing for this message, this phrase, "All my life you have been faithful," just kept echoing in my head. So I invite you to stand if you're able this morning, and as you ponder and consider God's faithfulness to you in your life, sing this song to Almighty God.
Yeah.
me in prayer. Almighty God, we do indeed thank you this morning as we ponder and consider your faithfulness to us in the various stages of our life. I pray, Father God, that we would never forget your faithfulness, that you are a God who is exactly who he says he is, and you will do exactly what you say you will do. Help us to continue to place our complete faith and trust in you, because you are indeed a trustworthy and a faithful God. I pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. So before I give the benediction, my coins count. It's the end of the month, so I invite the children to come forward to make a guess as to how many coins have been collected to the last month. So receive this benediction. Go into the world with a gentle attitude. Be joyful. Be thankful. Go in peace, knowing that God is faithful. God bless you. You're dismissed. Go in peace.